Hello, Overflow listeners. We are back this week. Hey, guys.
Hey, Sally.
What's up? What's up?
Hey. I'm really excited about today because my hope and prayer and dream for people as they listen to this conversation is that they will be freed up to and just like really stirred to make being in God's word a habit and a rhythm in their life. Like, that is what I really hope comes from today's conversation, and that people who have felt like, I literally don't know where to start. It feels big and scary and overwhelming, and will I understand it? Will I get the context? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. All that will be dispelled today, and that people will feel confident in approaching God's word, knowing that it is alive and active. The Holy Spirit will help us understand it, and that they'll know kind of where they can start. So that is what I'm excited for today. Are you guys excited for that?
I'm mega excited.
Oh, you sound so excited. Before we dive into it, let's start with story time. Who has stories?
I got a story.
Yes.
Man. So I this past weekend was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I was at Winter Conference. It's Clayton King Ministries. He does this thing. It's like his 26th year, I think, mm-hmm. doing this, which is pretty cool. I got the opportunity to be there. Play, like, being the worship team and all that was awesome. The Lord moved in like tremendous ways. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a two-part story because just the way the Lord's been teaching me and ministering to me and kind of just just giving me how would you say like your spiritual sense, like just mm-hmm. strengthening, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I just remember like driving up Friday. And the Holy Spirit had already been like ministering to my heart with like certain things where like he was telling me stuff or making me feel certain things. And I'm like, all right, Lord, let's see what happens. And one of the things was I felt in my heart that my wife, that Liz was going to pray for somebody or minister to somebody. But again, she's, you know, it's not that she's not going to minister to anybody. It's just the idea that like, we're just going up to this event and we're hanging out together. She's going to hang out with me backstage.
Yeah.
Like, this is not her thing, yeah. You know? So I was always just curious, all right, Lord, why are you giving me this feeling that mm-hmm. she's going to like literally like pray for somebody or minister to somebody? And so here comes Friday, here comes Saturday, nothing. Here comes Sunday night. And I'm like, I'm not like, all right, Lord, when are you going to do
yeah.
it? I'm just honestly like just kind of in almost like an automatic mode. Yeah. And then we're packing up. We're literally cleaning the stage or like getting ready to like just put everything in the car. And then I get a text on this group text and it's somebody had taken a picture of Liz praying for a girl. And then I end up finding out that she led this girl to Christ.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what? I'm just now finding
yeah.
out.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Know? And long story short, this girl, she's only been in the States for, I think, 4 to 6 months from mm-hmm. Guatemala. Very, very bad background. Mm-hmm. You know, she's kind of just, in a sense, seeking refuge over here.
Yeah.
And Liz had the opportunity to speak to her because she only spoke Spanish.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Lord wanted to accept the Lord in her heart after that whole weekend of just glory,
wow.
you know? And so, what so much power, so much beauty in that. And then the other crazy thing was, you know, it was just Liz and I, we left the kids here and my parents were going to take care of the kids, but mm-hmm. they ended up getting sick. And so it wasn't like kind of panic mode
yeah.
almost, but I ended up calling mm-hmm. her sisters to see if they can kind of, you know, come in and take care of the kiddos. That way you could just be a weekend to ourselves,
right.
you know, I'm not trying to be selfish, but hey,
no,
y'all, healthy
it.
Marriages
yes.
need weekends to
yes.
yourselves, you know? So when you think about it from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
that could have not also had happened, you know, like,
yes.
it's like she would, you know, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize it, but like the truth is like that moment almost didn't happen because Liz, there was an option of Liz not coming too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my parents canceling happened on Thursday. We
yeah.
were supposed to leave Friday. Like
yeah.
there's all this crazy stuff happening and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Like, he does it, you know?
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful story.
No, it's awesome.
Sovereignty of God.
No, it is, you
that
know?
Is
and it was
so
for sure for Liz, like outside of her comfort zone, like, but, you know, proud of her. And she knows it's like just a taste of what's to come too.
Yes.
So it was really, really beautiful weekend.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy if you look back at your life or little moments like that, the what ifs, like what if this mm-hmm. or what if that? I bet there's millions of them
mm-hmm.
where
yeah, tons.
You can be like, if only this, then that wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Talking about spiritually.
Yes.
You know, it's like, man, but God knows all things.
All things.
He planned them all.
And out of all of that, like, yes, Liz and I do speak Spanish, but it's still a little bit uncomfortable for us because, you know, we've been raised in, like, Liz was born in the States. I was born in Puerto Rico. But English is our language.
Yeah.
You know, we think in English, you know, like, yes, or like we can speak Spanish and all that. But it's not easy. And so when she's praying for this girl, like there's this also this discomfort of like now I have to speak Spanish and not only like just speak Spanish, I have to articulate the gospel in Spanish, which I'm not used to.
Yes.
Like, you know, so there's all these challenges, but Liz obeyed and went through, you know, and she like, she's just, you know, Liz could be funny. So she's like, I hope she got the gospel message. Like there's things I couldn't say, but I was like, I just said, here are the main points.
Yeah.
Like
that is the main point.
Yeah. Here.
Talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit will figure the rest out.
Yeah, man. Oh, so it was powerful, man.
It's kind of cool. You just see God woven through the stories of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like he gives you those what if moments for you to think back and be like, man, that truly was God. Mm-hmm. Like this wasn't coincidence. He allowed that to happen.
Yes.
One of my favorite things is seeing God move in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can get so stuck in our routine and the fact that obviously we work for a church. And so our day in and day out is talking about Jesus and talking about the things of God. Like, but to go somewhere else and to be like, oh, like even if I'm on vacation or I know you were going to a ministry thing, but like it does something to expand your mind when you're like, no, I see God moving here. Like he's everywhere. I don't know if that sounds like a
powerful.
Dumb thing to say, but it is.
Yeah. There was a couple instances too where there was like I'm playing keys and like the gospel like is being presented and kids are like flooding this like the altar to just receive Christ. And to see, there's nothing like, I know, like, please don't be cynical and like, and religious, but like, there's kids literally like weeping.
Yeah.
At the presence of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. And I'm just like, holy cow.
Mm.
Like, full on tears, like, almost like uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, we don't know their story.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, what they've been through. And they're out here really like, they don't even care. There's kids literally staring at them like, why are you crying? You know?
Yeah.
And this kid, there's one particular kid who was just like, holy cow.
Mm.
You know? It just really did impact. Like, just that visual image will always impact the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know? So these
I
are
love
good,
that.
Good things.
That kind of thing, you know, right now, social media, you know, it ruins everything, like, sometimes. But right now, there's this whole... it's people that are like our age who used to go to camps or things like that. And they hate on like cry night, like whatever, that's what they call it.
They call it emotion,
literally like any type of emotion that somehow it was manipulated or anything like that. And I look back and I think, those were real for me. Those were real building points for the Holy Spirit in my life to be like, I'm real, I'm here, this is true, that, you know, this isn't fake. And so I think I love seeing that kind of stuff. I love that. And my like heart when I see them, it's like, that was so me in like middle school and high school. I was, of course, emotional anyway. But but that was the Holy Spirit stirring affections. And it's not it has nothing to do with music and manipulation. This is really the Holy Spirit captivating people at a young age.
Yeah.
And our hope should be that we continue to fan that flame for them.
What's wild to me, what burdens my heart is that a generation of people can give it a term such as cry night.
Yeah.
When to me, that's such a tactic from the enemy to like say, like, here's God's truth. Days in his presence will break you, you know? But yet the cynicism of the enemy says, hey, no. Your emotions are too high. You're just being emotional.
Preach.
You know, and it's
preach.
Like, what?
Yes.
We give it a term called cry night now?
And diminish what
you know,
is really
like,
happening.
You know, and then one person can ruin it for your weekend because perhaps they were, you know, just in their emotions. And then like 10 minutes later, they're back to their normal selves.
Yeah.
Like, don't let that one individual just ruin something truly authentic for the mass, you know?
Yep.
Like, yeah, don't get me started.
No, but hey, no, I'm glad you got started.
Emotion allows you to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we can hide those feelings all we want, but
yeah.
And it's also, you were given that through God. God gave you those emotions
like
to
why,
express yourself.
Why in events, like no matter, it doesn't have to be a student event, but why in particular events that take days at a time, like, you'll see some people get saved the first night, some people get saved the second night. And for some reason, you still see people get saved the third night.
Yes.
And they've been there all weekend. That's what it took. Yes. That's what it took to soften whatever like stronghold was in their heart and in their spirit. Like
that reminded me of like just that analogy that Randy had one morning in Devo that some people are, it's like a slow cooker. Like it's going to take a second for them to get more. The longer you sit in his presence, the more tender you become. Yeah. Like some people come in with hard hearts.
Yeah.
A lot of questions, confusion. Yep. Cynicism, that's a hardening of your heart. And it's going to take a minute for the Holy Spirit to like tenderize that so that it can like, honestly, pull apart, you know?
I was
and
say,
like,
get through. Yes, we're talking about boomer. So while we're on this, I remember distinctly a time where I was a chicken tender again. And this was in high school, right? This is when I felt the true calling to go into pastoral care. But I didn't know at the time how to put it in words.
Yeah.
All right, this is at a camp in Ridgecrest, South Carolina.
Hashtag. I've been there multiple times.
Oh, not Ridgecrest. Ridgeway.
Okay.
It's somewhere Ridgecrest is North Carolina.
Yeah. Somewhere between here and Columbia. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Camp Longleers. I don't know. Either way. So it was like it was like a leadership conference and I was obviously a student. It was the last night and something hit me where I was just standing in the back and I was watching kids. I am a kid, but I was watching other people just worship and it broke me.
Wow.
And I had to walk out of the room and go outside. I remember like kneeling by this like wooden fence, picket fence thing. And I was a mess. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember my student pastor at the time come and put his arm around me. And he was like, can you verbalize what you're experiencing? Mm. And I couldn't. It was just like, I need to surrender. I need to submit. And I don't remember exactly what I was dealing with in that moment.
Right. Wow.
But here's the thing. We call it emotion because we don't talk people through to an outcome, right? We just label it emotion and say, oh, they're good over it. Wait till the morning. He talked me through the emotion that I was experiencing and he almost labeled it in the correct way, but he gave a purpose to my emotion. Mm-hmm. And the days after that, he helped disciple me through that. And it came out to be, he's like, man, I think that you're being called. Yeah. And then it clicked in my head. So it almost had he had to direct me and direct my emotions to a healthy place to put context to it. So it isn't just left in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. We can say, oh, it's emotion because we don't want to do the work to help disciple a kid through to help them understand where that emotion comes from and why you're feeling that, then give purpose to it. But
I have three thoughts. This is a lot of thoughts. Number one, I think it's neat to see that there's actually a thread of that I don't even know if you realize in how you teach. And I'm sure maybe it even traces back to that moment that you do that for us on Sundays. And I've heard you do that several times where, hey, if you're feeling that tug, if you're feeling that pull, let me put words to what you're feeling right now. And I always think that's so helpful for people because people will write it off where it's like, oh, I don't need to go down to the altar. Like I can do whatever I need to do in my seat right here, but they are feeling a pull to the altar to actually lay something down. But you're good at verbalizing whatever that tension is. Like this is an enemy and this is the God of the universe and you got to break through that tension. Mm. So anyway, I just think it's cool to see that.
Wow. I never realized that either.
Well, you do a great job at it.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. Like think about that night
then.
Two
more thoughts. You can't let me forget that.
Okay. Go. I'm just blown away that, man, if that's true, which makes sense. That's how God works.
Yes.
What ifs? Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Well, 100%. here's the second. Here's how God works. You are still, I think it's important to pay attention to what causes us to become undone in the presence of the Lord. You are still, which we see this, undone in the presence of kids worshiping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, I always go back to like nature things. I'm never more undone, but that is how God called me to himself. Was through literally, I'm gonna cry about it. It was through a sunrise. The salvation story that sounds fake, sounds made up because it was in Hawaii and like riding down this bike down.
You were in Hawaii?
I've told you this story. Yes.
I know, I've heard it before.
But honestly, I'll briefly go through it again just for anybody who's listening for the first time. Yeah. But my dad, this was, a tough time in our family. My mom and dad had just gotten divorced. My dad just wanted to like get away from everything. So he took me and my sister on a trip to Hawaii. My aunt lived there at the time. He booked us one of these excursions where you, they drive you up to the top of this mountain in a van, and then they basically put you on a bike. And for like 3 hours during sunrise, you're just gliding down this mountain. And it's the most beautiful thing.
Sounds
but you're
amazing.
Basically by yourself. They're like, several yards of feet, between or yards of feet, several yards between you and the person in front of you.
They intentionally do this. Like you go next.
Yeah. So you don't run into anybody. You're not up in anybody's business. Everybody has like their own space. So I'm by myself. the sun starts to rise and the Lord called me to himself. I knew in that moment, literally all I can say is the Holy Spirit. I was 13. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed Jesus as a savior. And I went back, got baptized. And that's life has been ever since.
This is not from a just thin air.
Exactly.
This was created.
Exactly.
And given purpose.
Yeah. And it was literally just Holy Spirit. Woo. So now, like any type of nature thing, sunrise, sunset, it is to me the glory of the Lord. So it's just funny too, to see the Lord will call you, remind you, humble you, I think in the same way a lot of times. So it's funny to see, because you that still moves you emotionally. Yeah. Like we see that, you know? Anyway, that was my second thought. My third thought was, this is just random, the room that you were in, Alex.
Gatlinburg, yeah.
In this
the convention
past weekend,
center.
The convention center. That's where the Lord called me to ministry.
Let's go.
I remember that.
Really?
That was my senior year. I didn't even know what it meant. I never even pursued a job in ministry. The Lord literally put it on my lap.
Let's go.
Anytime that I've been in a ministry position.
It's powerful.
Yeah. So anyway, it just gives me like all the feels when you talk about being there in Gatlinburg, because that's where the Lord called me.
Well, I remember you and Brandon like sharing with me about, you know, that's where you guys met.
Yeah.
And
it's also where we met. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like Liz and I
also my husband.
Yeah. Liz and I are like just hanging out in the convention center and like I tell you what, this is not to boast, but like like feeling like a quote unquote artist when you're like going backstage. If you ever get to see the backstage of these arenas, they're super cool. You know, you go under a tunnel and you got these backstage passes.
It's not like our green room.
It's not like the green room.
They don't have 6 foot Jesus though.
No, they don't have 6 foot Jesus. So
we need to put that on the stories this week. We all walked in and I don't know who did this.
Oh, I know who did it.
Who did it?
Chase.
Chase.
Yeah.
Put Jesus in your chair playing the bass guitar.
Oh, yeah. Strapped him in.
Strapped him. That's pretty cool.
Anyway.
So it was, Liz and I were just, I don't know, just enamored. Like, hey, man, this is where the PVs met, you know? And
do you guys feel like young love again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we were by ourselves.
Yeah. You're like, we're teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
In the town of Gatlinburg.
It was really cool.
Clean place.
This was fun. This was fun.
We
did go on a journey there. That was a lot of fun. Well, let's talk about the word. I'm super excited about it. This has been, honestly, a struggle for me, in full transparency, to find a good rhythm, to be in God's word, to where it didn't feel legalistic. It didn't feel like I was just doing my checkmark thing.
You're not the only one.
Yes. Well, I want us to talk about that a little bit first. So first, I have to shout out Vernon. His message was so good on the word, and it just made me excited about the word and the way he communicated it, too. He had such excitement on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It really was contagious. I had to watch it back. I wasn't there on Sunday. Well, the three of us were not here. We were all at different events and things.
You give that boy his favorite topic, know, like to preach on. He's like, yes, sir.
So it really was contagious. So shout out Vernon. Wonderful job. And I want to start with this quote that he had from John MacArthur, because it just fully encompasses what God's word is to us. So here's what it said. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, heaven is open and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. Mm. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you here in this life, will be opened at the judgment, and is established forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its content. Mm. What? It's like the biggest mic drop quote ever.
Oh,
like,
it's argue
just
that.
So true. Yeah, it's just a beautiful way, I think, for us to start this conversation. So with that, I want this to be real to people. And I'm hoping that some of the struggles that we share about being in God's word might strike someone and be like, hey, that's my struggle too. How can I overcome this? So my first question is, what has been your biggest obstacle to being in God's word in the past? Getting in it, making it a rhythm, like those kinds of things. I have a long list, honestly.
I was about to say, there's
but
there's
what
a
are
lot.
A few of yours?
I think, you know, obviously I think the number one for a lot of people is time.
Yeah.
Where, and actually Alex and I had a brief conversation this morning where it's like, we do, and it's, yeah, it's almost like we're masked. It's a good thing. Like we are busy. And mm-hmm. a lot of those things are things that we have to do, need to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But we also prioritize our busyness, our day-to-day schedules, a lot of times more than sitting at the feet of Christ. Yeah. And that's what we talked about, yeah, the Mary Martha type thing, where I know Alex, this has been marinating in your heart, mm-hmm, for a little bit, but there's only one thing that is needed, yeah, and that's to be at the feet of Christ. But so I would say time for me, but even, yeah, more so when I do even say, all right, I'm going to schedule out this, mm-hmm, here's my time, I get distracted so quick.
Yeah.
And so it's not even like, ooh, my phone went off, but it's just my mind, mm-hmm, can't settle, mm-hmm, you know? So it's almost like I neglect, there's three, time, then distraction, and then I neglect to invite the Holy Spirit into, mm-hmm, what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I've done that in the past and really sit for a second before I read, mm-hmm, I can focus a little bit more.
I think that's such a small, practical, like real thing, mm-hmm, is that we will hop up, grab, you know, or like, mm-hmm, right before we go to bed, whatever your time is, you know, grab your Bible, a journal, pen, whatever you're, yeah, Bible studying with, and dive right in. Just, yeah, start reading. But that has made a huge difference for, yeah, me as well. To actually to believe that this is real, like, yes, that is a yes, faith step. I believe, Holy Spirit, that you are with me, and that you will help me concentrate, focus, and understand what I'm reading. We were given the helper for that,
yes,
you know? And so that is a really practical step. I think people, that's number one, people, if you're taking notes on how do I start being in the Word, yeah, before you do anything, ask the Holy Spirit.
Invite him in.
Yes, be with you to help you.
And here's another one.
That's a big deal.
That, I don't know if this answers exactly your question, but I'm just thinking, so when I'm reading and I can't focus my mind, mm-hmm, it's like I have guilt, mm-hmm, or almost like a shame where, mm-hmm, it's like, it's okay to tell yourself, I have to practice, mm-hmm, this.
Yeah.
Like don't say, oh, well, I'm not getting it. Maybe I'll try tomorrow. No, it's, mm-hmm, you have to practice to focus your mind, mm-hmm, a little, yeah, bit. If, you know what I'm trying to,
yes,
say?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, it's okay to do that. It's okay to not just let it click and go right in. It's, take time with it.
The enemy will shame us for everything, yeah, anything, it, right, and everything. Mm-hmm. So even if you're spending time in God's word and then you're feeling like guilt and shame, that's not the voice of God.
That's
God
the enemy.
Is so pleased to be spending time with you. And he knows our human state. He knows our distractions in our minds. We, again, ask the Holy Spirit, yeah, help me, focus me. But God's not wagging his finger at you for being terrible at reading his word while you're literally sitting there reading his word. Yep. Like, that's just another voice of the enemy to keep you out of it. If I were your enemy, I would want to give you any reason to be like, well, God probably doesn't even want me to spend time in his word because I'm so distracted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, a lie.
Another one that might be, sorry, I
oh, you're good, bro,
is, I want to ask, like, what is your purpose for reading the Bible, mm-hmm, right? So a lot of times my purpose to read the Bible is to get something, mm-hmm, out of it. That's the wrong mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't read the Bible to get something. Now it's like, mm-hmm, whoa, wait a second. No, read the Bible to know more of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it is in God's nature, like, to give. So, like, obviously you're going to,
yeah,
get something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But God's, when you see, like, just the history of humanity, God has always just questioned humans' motives. Mm-hmm. It's never been about, like, your act or your sin or whatever. It's like he always looks at the heart and be like, man, it's because of your impure heart. That's what worries me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your motives.
Mm-hmm. It's your motive. You always,
you
try,
know,
to. And I say it this way. Here's an example to say, are you reading the Bible to get something out of it? Have you ever read a passage? Now, that's not for everybody. So I'm not shaming anybody either.
Yeah.
You ever read a passage and you just get frustrated because you're like, I don't know what this means. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe because you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that one passage before and past it might help you understand Jesus, mm-hmm, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Don't stop trying to get everything out of the Bible.
Yep.
Just know more of Jesus.
Well, one of my favorite things has been this comes with, instead of just trying to read as many chapters and just get it done, mm-hmm, as quickly as I can, to actually take time to pause. And if there's something that I'm not understanding, it has almost become like fun for me to be like, okay, now what does this mean?
Yeah.
Like, and to actually go take time to research it. And then I'm not so focused on, well, I didn't get my five chapters in today. It's like, no, let me meditate on like three verses, yep, and try to figure out what does this mean, Lord?
Wow.
And why did this have to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, what was the context of this? That has been so much more beneficial for me.
Yes.
Than just trying, because I used to try
like
to
genuine
do,
understanding.
Yes,
yes.
Yes. And that's where There's nothing wrong with Bible plans and things like mm-hmm. that. But if it tells you it's a 6-day plan, it's okay if that 6 days takes you 3 weeks.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
slow it down.
Yep.
Like make sure that you understand what you're reading. It's the Bible, as with so many other things, it really is more about quality than quantity.
Man.
It doesn't matter if you read through an entire book in 1 week, if mm-hmm. you didn't retain anything and it didn't change anything within you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't understand what you were reading. Yep. You just read all these crazy names and all yes, the crazy things 100%. That happened. And then like nothing took root. You know?
Here's a what if. What if God in that moment mm-hmm. has blocked you from understanding so that you won't just stay surface level
yeah.
in what you're reading?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, talking about revelation from mm-hmm. the word, maybe you're supposed to go back because you might read, my Bible app's open. No temptation has ever taken you that's not common to man. God mm-hmm. is faithful and not let you be tempted. All right, what if you said, oh, okay, cool, then moved on. So that's so surface level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Take it, let's go a little bit deeper with that. Yeah. Go look at some commentary, study the word, go to some articles if you want to give some shout outs yeah. in a little bit. But take time with it because you might find that that's a little bit deeper than just what you read.
Well, because if you, so using mm-hmm. that same verse as an example, what if instead of being like, okay, no temptation will overtake me, what if you spent some time being like, what are the temptations in my life that feel yeah. like they're overtaking me?
That's called application.
And that's literally what it is. So you're taking time yes. and even you take a whole week on that verse, take 2 weeks like, mm-hmm. and be like, every day and you've come to a temptation and you're meditating on that yep. word. He said that no temptation would overtake me. He would always provide a way out.
So, I mean, you said, what are out? The temptations overtaking you? And then the other further question is, why
yeah.
are they taking
yes.
me?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then when he reveals his temptations, you pray for deliverance.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to be delivered, yeah. you know? And, you know, there's always that elephant in the room question, like, oh, well, if I have Christ in me, the Holy Spirit's in me, then why? And then, you know, there's no... you know, evil spirit or whatever. It's like, yeah, you may not have that evil spirit in you, but mm-hmm. I tell you what, they're around you. Mm-hmm. They're highly influencing mm-hmm. you. They're tormenting you.
Yeah.
You know, is there something that you verbally need to confess? Is there mm-hmm. something that you verbally need to renounce? Is there mm-hmm. something that you literally need to take action in to get away from that?
Yeah.
You know, these are serious things.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Deliverance is what we call that,
yeah.
you know? And the Bible is very clear on it, even in the New Testament.
Yeah.
That word's come up a lot in our church.
Oh, bro. It's coming.
Well, I don't want to miss this real quick because
yeah,
you
ahead.
Said it, but so when I went to a Bible college,
yeah.
right? And it's very much like church. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago where mm-hmm. it's like sometimes it's hard too because when I study the Bible, it's for the purpose of teaching.
Right.
So I don't get personal rest, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Well, it was the same way in school and they used to say, you don't read the Bible to finish, you read the Bible to change.
Yeah.
And the Bible is not your textbook.
Yeah.
I love a John MacArthur quote. The Bible is way more than just a textbook.
Yeah.
So you don't try to finish, mm-hmm. you read it to change. And since that takes
it's
time.
It's different than any other book. If yeah. a book yeah. is alive and active and powerful and it is a sword, like it's just different than any
yes.
other book that we will read, which is why it's one that is to be read over and over and over and chewed on and meditated on and, you know, really thoughtfully, prayerfully gone about, you
wow.
know?
That was a good example of what the temptation thing about how the Bible is a sword, how it cuts to the bone.
Yes.
Because when you say no temptation, oh, well, what do I struggle with? Now you're going deeper inside
yes.
your own heart,
yep.
but you're allowing the word of God and the Holy Spirit, you're inviting him in. So show me the temptations that I might not even see. That's
absolutely.
How it cuts to your soul.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then gosh, you pray for healing.
Yes.
Well,
that's so good.
No,
so,
you did that.
Yeah.
Well,
I was just going to share.
Yeah, please.
With your question was what were the things that like hindered like just a daily rhythm or some just sort of rhythm with reading the word
mm-hmm.
Back in the day? And for me, specifically in my teenage years, the reason why I didn't really read the word at all, which is because like I was bound to sin, like
mm-hmm.
I was addicted to things mm-hmm. and distracted to things.
Yeah.
And so, there wasn't really a hunger like for his word,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh yeah.
Now my spirit, because I was pretty active in the church, my spirit still had hunger for his presence. But I was so deceived in my immaturity that I would not read his word.
Yeah.
Or at least not read it as often.
Yeah.
Or deceived in thinking that I can just hear a
You're
message.
You're saying all my thoughts. This is amazing.
Or yeah. Or yeah. just hear a message and think as if that's enough, you know, and not have just a personal, like a legit, genuine, personal relationship with the Lord. And then the second thing, and this kind of goes with what what was just said with Ryan about how sometimes we read and sometimes we don't get it or whatever.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, like in those moments, to just put a pause. Please just understand what I'm about to say.
But
put a pause from reading his word. And like, how about you just get on your knees?
That's so good.
And just pray.
Yeah.
And before you ask for anything, mm-hmm. how about you just worship him?
That's so good.
That's
so good, Alex.
And so there's been moments, even, you know, like whether it's in my office space and I just close the door, where I'm like, let me just worship.
Yeah.
And genuinely, like if you have a question, like, what do you mean by that? Well, mm-hmm. I'm literally just going to just worship the Lord. I'm just mm-hmm. going to, you know, just, you know, I don't know, articulate who he is,
yeah.
you know, and I'm just going to say sweet, loving things mm-hmm. to him, you know? And if I do that for 15, 20 minutes, well, then after that, like for the next 5-10 minutes, then I'll like say, all right, I'm ready to just mm-hmm. ask for things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just believing that he can do anything.
Yeah.
And then I'll like just read a snippet or something of his word
mm-hmm.
Just to meditate the rest of the day on.
Yeah.
And to me, what that does, it really does break a lot of this spiritual warfare stuff that happens in our mind
yeah.
where we do feel cluttered and foggy
mm-hmm.
and stuff. It's like, no. The one who can take all that away,
mm-hmm.
let me myself
yes.
get on my knees
yeah.
and pray. And so those are like, I think, really important moments for,
yeah.
for all of us who love the Lord if you find yourself in that situation,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it can really feel like just a repetitive,
yeah.
like habitual thing. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And you don't want that to be a habit.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny that you said that because I just had this thought yesterday. I can't believe you just said that. Because I just remember a couple years ago, I was even in a group and yesterday I was like, did I really say that? Did I really say like, there just might need to be a time
mm-hmm.
to step away from God's word if you have viewed it so legalistically and it has just
yep.
become this monotonous thing that your heart is not really into.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I just mean like
yeah.
really a day, a week, but to seek him
yep.
and to worship him and to invite the Holy Spirit into
yeah.
to give it life, you know, instead of just making it, again, we always refer to the,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've heard this my whole life, like making reading God's word, like
yeah.
a checklist item. And I was like, gosh, I was thinking about those ladies, like they probably thought that I was crazy, but it's not because I don't value it.
Yeah.
I had gotten into such a rut of it. And this is what was beautiful about Vernon's message is he was like, there is nothing legalistic about, adjusting your schedule or making
yeah.
room for God and his word. And I thought that lands on me as
wow.
a healing thing now,
well,
but it would not have landed
yeah.
on me the same way
well,
then.
Quick nugget before you lose, like
yeah.
I want you to keep like finishing your thought,
yeah.
but again, it's this idea of like your calendar.
Yes.
And this is something that like I even, you know, work on with my relationship with my wife, but it's like, if it's not on your calendar, it might not be on your calendar. Like when you date somebody.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
same thing with the Lord, like it's not legalistic to set apart a time for him.
Yeah.
That is just your love language to him.
Yeah.
It's saying, hey, I prioritize you.
That's so good.
And so it doesn't become legalistic. What becomes legalistic is when you do it just out of mere tradition,
yeah.
but your heart and your spirit and your mind and everything is just not in one alignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do it all for works. You do it all for show.
Yeah.
Then yes, you can become a Pharisee
yeah.
very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Well, I love that. And so all of these things at different times in my life, and I think this is true for a lot of things,
yeah.
that they're just different seasons for things and where I was,
that's
where my mentality was
mm-hmm.
at that time. Even Vernon saying that, like, but there's nothing legalistic about it or whatever. I don't even know that that would have landed on me
wow.
in a good spot at that time because
yep.
I felt like I was in such
well,
a legalistic place.
The other portion of like God's word, you know, and this is out of pure revelation,
mm-hmm.
not the book of Revelation, but just
yeah.
pure, like more clarity on Jesus
mm-hmm.
is that the word is Jesus.
Yes.
And so if you think about approaching God's holy word, that's why I said, if you feel like distracted or cluttered, well, get on your knees and invite the person intimately to you so that when you open the word,
yes,
he's the only one that can open the scroll,
uh-huh.
then it becomes life. This is why I always encourage people, like, hey, before you read the word, have some time of worship.
Yeah.
And this is where there's a disconnect with God's people at times because we idolize, like, again, don't misinterpret, but we idolize his word to a degree where we don't like put enough emphasis on just being with him.
Yes.
Like through prayer and through just conversation and through worship. And so we need to marry the two.
Yes.
You know?
Because, well, this is the image that I keep getting, that if we treat it like I'm just doing my checklist and I'm just going to the word to either get what I need to get or just try to learn how to be a better person, we're doing nothing different than really kneeling at like stone tablets. Mm-hmm. Like we don't bow to stone tablets. Mm-hmm. We don't, they're not alive and mm-hmm. active. Like,
Yes.
Jesus, does this make sense? Are you tracking? Like, no, that's what it feels like. Like, there, it's not alive and active like Jesus, who mm-hmm. is the Word,
yep.
and the bread of which is what we feast on. Like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, that just I don't want to.
I mean, that's
I don't
what,
want it to be
I mean,
so like a hard. We've like,
heard
that's
this.
What it is,
yeah, we've heard this a thousand
flesh.
Times. But even Vernon reiterated on Sunday. But like, we believe in God's Word so much, but even the enemy and his clan has it memorized.
Yes,
and it didn't change them.
Yep. Yep.
This is not blasphemy.
Yeah.
But this is the idea that your heart needs to be like in oneness with like the King of the universe. And when you read his word, now it comes alive.
Yeah.
Like, does this make sense?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes, it leads you into a relationship.
Yeah. Like, you have to, like, you got to be in relationship with him because you can memorize all you want. The enemy knows it time, you know, like mm-hmm. tenfold plus other historical context. Mm-hmm. Like, way more than we would.
Well,
you know?
I think I said this a couple weeks ago, but look at the Pharisees even, right? I mean, they had the entire Old Testament memorized.
Memorized. It was,
But they didn't have a relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. who was standing in front of them, so nothing clicked. They didn't relate what they read in the Old Testament to
your blasphemy, bro.
Yeah. So I mean, you can, knowledge and relation, knowledge is great if it leads you to a relationship. Mm-hmm. Start with the relationship, invite them in, like you're all saying, then God will give you the knowledge that turns to wisdom in life.
Yeah.
That's so good. So I'll list off a few of mine too, because I want to go in that direction. Really where to start. And so, these two things that I wrote were kind of funny because one of them was pride. I thought I knew everything. It was like, mm-hmm. I've already heard bits and pieces and once you become saved, you feel like, well, I've already got the gospel. Like, I know Jesus, you know, like I know what he did for me. I believe that he died for me, took my sins upon himself, was resurrected. I'm hidden in him. Like, I believe these things. And there's just a pride that can settle in that, like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to, and I kind of know, like, I know right from wrong. I'm not going to go out and kill anybody, you know. I'm going to try not to gossip, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's not,
that's real.
Not a real, like, again, it's that I found the boundary line. Here's what I'm not going to cross. But there was not a, but I want to pursue what is the most holy, what is the most good, what is the most righteous. So that was a pride of mine. I thought I knew everything. Insecurity. So pride and insecurity, and they're both forms of pride, really. But the insecurity was that I'm going to start reading the word and I'm not going to understand it.
Hold on, can we pause?
Yes.
Y'all, she just said they're both a form of pride.
Yeah.
Like, I hope people capture that. Mm-hmm. If you deal with insecurity, you're actually being prideful. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Because you, like, in your insecurity, I don't know how to even articulate this, but sorry, it just, that has always, like,
please, yeah.
That has always struck me.
Yeah.
You know?
It is an insecurity is a not believing your position in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that is prideful to say that God is a liar.
Yes.
That's essentially what you're saying, that I don't believe in my chosenness, in my created, in the image of godness. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just all these different things that you're not believing. And so then you're just calling God a liar.
Yep.
And that's the most prideful thing that you can do. And you're not saying it with your mouth, but with what you're believing about yourself that doesn't line up with who God has already called you.
And it happens unintentionally. It's like,
absolutely. That's not a shaming statement, but it is, hopefully it will shake you. Like, whatever insecurity you're walking in that makes you shrink back or shy away from the things that God has put in front of you, it is a sneaky form of pride that tells you you're not good enough, but it's really believing the lie that you don't believe that God has already called you into something greater.
Yep. Gosh, man.
Anyway.
Sorry, keep going. It's just that that all has always, like, blown my mind.
Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know. I know guys get targeted with insecurity and stuff like that, too. It's definitely a woman thing as well. Like, so much insecurity.
Yeah, it comes in different ways.
Definitely. It's, sometimes.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Both that just as powerful, for sure.
One of the other things that I wrote down was I didn't want sin to be exposed. So you had kind of touched on that in yours, too. Deep in our subconscious, even if you think, no, I'm good, I'm living a good life, like, you know where there is sin and where it is going to, like, collide with the word of God. And you don't want to be held, you don't want that to be exposed yet. You don't want to be held accountable for
it.
You
want to do it, though.
All that kind of stuff. That can be really hard. And I want to acknowledge that as a real reason, but also for want to say, like, get in the word, let it be. Like, I don't want somebody to stay there because it's like, I want to validate that is a real reason that people don't get in the word. Like, I feel you and you just want to continue living, but I want to call you out of it.
I didn't have a hunger, like an absolute hunger where, like, to the point where you feel like you can't live without
it.
Yes. Till I was 20, you know? And when you grow up similarly, the way we've grown up with, like, having Sunday school, like Bible school stuff on Sunday mornings and stuff, like, there's a point in our in our childhood where we think we know it all, like, we've heard all these stories, you know, and then you get into your teenage years and you're like, of course I've heard of Noah, David, and so on and so forth.
Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, Jonah, David. Solomon. Yeah. Like, you get all these stories and then you get to the New Testament and you're like, I've heard some of these stories.
Yeah.
But the hunger, it didn't really strike, again, when I started getting discipled.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Holy Spirit, like, he switched on something. Mm-hmm. He said, now you're ready, you know, to just get in the word.
Yeah.
You know? And so there, again, for, like, parents out there, you know, when you truly disciple your kids, there's this hunger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, here's another mystery for y'all, because I don't believe in absolutes, but I'll say this. The Holy Spirit does turn on certain things for certain kids.
Yeah.
Like, at certain times. It's not every child.
Yeah.
Like, my son, my oldest right now, Jace, I didn't tell him to, like, fall in love with Jesus as soon. Like, I mean, of course we talk about Jesus, but here's my point. He literally watches, like, Christian TV all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Like, he intentionally turns it on and he asks me all kinds of theological questions. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, the other day he said, Dad, what does the veil was torn mean?
Oh.
I was like,
dang.
It means a lot.
It means a lot. We're going to do a study on this one, son.
Uh-huh.
And so he's asked me, he asked me last week, hey, when are we going to study the veil? I was like, oh, we're doing it.
This is a kid's book. This is what we've been doing with Jude. And I can send it to you. But it's a kid's book called The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross. And it's about why the veil was torn. And it gives the whole gospel. So then one night after we read it, Jude, I asked him, I was like, hey, do you want to start our prayer? And normally it's like, very quick. Thank you for mommy. Thank you for daddy. Thank you for Gaia. You know, like, whatever. But he said, thank you, God, that you overcame sin. Thank you for tearing that curtain in two.
Let's go. Yes.
I'm like, oh, Jesus. Man. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. This is
my favorite story. I'll remember that moment forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can do that.
The practical with your kids and, like, discipling them. Like, I do encourage Jace to pray with me every night. Mm-hmm. And when we pray, I usually ask him, do you want to pray first or do you want me to pray? Mm-hmm. And there was a time where he asked me to pray first. Yeah. And then when he would pray, he would kind of, like, take some stuff that I've said.
Yeah.
And then when he says, I'll pray first, it's very interesting and amazing to see the things that he says.
Yes.
You know, and the only way that happens is the intentionality.
Yep.
Like, it's that, again, with the whole theme of this podcast, like, how can we get into some sort of rhythm or whatever, like, to read the word? Same thing for your children. How do you do that with your children? There has to be this spirit and flesh fight where your spirit wins and you say, no, I'm going to overtake this flesh thought of, like, hey, just go to bed. Bye. Good night.
Yeah.
Which it happens. We're not perfect, y'all. The Quintana house is not perfect.
That's why I say, like, it's okay to struggle like that.
Yeah. Like, but there is an intentionality and a thoughtfulness of, like, all right, we're going to pray tonight. Psalm 23, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Or we're at least going to pray. We're going to do something, you know? Just put a little worship song on the iPhone before bed, you know? Yeah. And that's been beautiful times too. So
yeah, I love that. So here's my last one really quick before we actually give people tools to be in the word. Here was a real one. I was scared that I would read something that I didn't like and wouldn't know what to do with it. I felt like for a long time, I get Jesus. I understand him and his nature and his character.
Yeah.
I also know that he is God, but it was hard for me to see the correlation between Jesus and God in the Old Testament. It just seemed, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this would be the viewpoint of a lot of people who haven't gotten the fullness of scripture yet, is that God is the mean guy in
God
the Old Testament.
Yeah, you almost had a dark version of Jesus in the Old Testament.
And so, and then you've got, you know, light and love and grace and kindness and mercy in the New Testament.
Who's also bringing back judgment and wrath.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to understand it in the fullness, know that. But in my little mind, that was very hard for me to reconcile. And so it was almost like, I just want to keep this pretty picture of Jesus and I'll just want to live like him. And I don't need to know all the details of the Old Testament. Like, God did what he did. Like, but it kept me from being in the Word for a long time because I just didn't want it to clash with, honestly, the idol I had. It's really an idol that I had made of God in my own mind. Like, here's who you really are. And it's really just loving, but there is no wrath. There is no judgment. It was just this false thing going on in my head. And so that was something. And I'm saying that because I hope it resonates with someone, and that maybe if you do feel that way, that you will find freedom in that because that is where I used to be, and it's not where I am anymore.
Yeah, that's wild. The only reason... there's a lot of reasons, so I wouldn't say the only.
Yeah.
God displayed his wrath in the Old Testament so that we see the seriousness of sin.
And the purity of his holiness. Like,
That's what I just had a thought where, like, all right, we call you Alpha and Omega, but we don't believe your beginning and we don't believe in your end.
Yes. Mm. It's you can't,
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there would not be wrath if there was no sin.
Yeah.
And so it's like you read these things. I remember there's a story. I don't even know where it is, but I remember reading it growing up, like where God struck someone dead because he picked up sticks on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That's a sin.
Well, he also struck a married couple in Acts chapter 5.
Yes, for finances. Mm-hmm.
For finances. Yes. And what were they? Why did the Lord kill them in the New Testament after his death and resurrection?
Sovereignty of God. That's the way. Excuse.
But the whole thing was because they were wanting to boast in how much they were going to give to the church. Mm-hmm. Again, motive.
Yeah.
Right. But the sin shows us that's where Jesus comes. Yeah. Where that's the wrath of God. Now, all of that wrath was poured onto him, and through him, we don't experience wrath.
But and I do want to pause on this for a second. I just saw this video, but it was R.C. Sproul, and he's in a panel. And the question, it came from an audience member who said, why was the wrath for Adam's sin, the punishment for Adam's sin, so harsh and long-lasting? And R.C. Sproul was so, he said, now, wait a minute. And the whole room laughed. He's like, no, I'm serious. Why was it so harsh and long lasting? This creature made from the dirt defied a holy, almighty God when he told him that if you eat of this, you will surely die. But he lived to see another day, and he was clothed in his nakedness and protected from living the rest of his life in sin, blocked from the garden. Like, why was it so harsh and long-lasting? That is grace. Mm-hmm. He was told what would happen, but God still covered him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was just like, so that's where the nuances of like, but I see such a wrathful God. No, we just don't see how sinful we are.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We don't understand that sin can't be in the presence of a holy God.
Mm. Yep.
And so anyway, that whole video gave me chills. I was like, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, I just want to, you can't see the wrath of God without the grace of Christ.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yes.
Is to show you the grace of Christ that we receive through Jesus.
Yes. Right? And so that's where I say, I think we can receive, like, how did Jesus call me to himself if I didn't have a full picture of his word? It was really his Holy Spirit just called me. And so I'm able to say, I believe that you died for my sins, but it has been a continuing and will continue until, you know, glory that... And even beyond, right? Like, we talk about this ever learning the goodness, the holiness, the mercy. So now I am at a place, thank God it didn't take me my whole life, but I am at a place where I can appreciate with deep gratitude both the Old Testament and the New Testament and reconcile the two.
It's crazy to think his wrath was out of love.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
He didn't want you to live in sin, so he's tried to show you the dangers of sin. You know,
I see it every day when I yell at my kids because I just want them to be safe. Facts. You know, I'm like, this is just, I just want you to be careful.
Think about the stuff that you don't know. You know, That makes sense in my head.
Yeah, let's move on.
Like I'm saying, like, think about, like, we know a lot about Jesus, but think about the stuff you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And how long that list is.
Yeah.
So I do.
Think about the stuff you know you don't know.
That's a good
one. I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know. So let's move into, I want to give people really practical ways to start reading the word. And so who wants to go first?
I'll go first. What's the question? No, so I'll say this before, like, I don't know if you're asking, like, hey, where should they start? But
I'll throw out a common thing that people say. Now, to fully understand, and I would agree with this, to fully understand, first of all, we know that the whole Bible, so again, even those parts you don't think that you can reconcile in the Old Testament, it all points to Jesus.
Yes.
And so the common recommendation is that people start in the New Testament with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to get a good picture of who Jesus is and what his life looked like, what his character and nature are. He is that what's the verse? It's like the visible something of the unseen God. Like this is who he is.
He's the image of the invisible God.
Yes, an image of the invisible God. And so that I think that is the perfect place to start, is to start with the Gospels in the New Testament, because it gives you such a picture of Jesus, and then will help you get some context.
Let's even back up a little further, because I love the question, where do I start in the Bible? It's a lot of books. It's a lot of words. I would say start with understanding how to read it.
Yeah.
You can read anything you want, but if you're reading it the wrong way, I wouldn't say you're not going to get anything out of it. That's not my point, but it'll open your eyes more if you read it the right way. And here's Park. I got to give a shout out to Park. I know we like to do this a lot. And he said this one time for us to understand. And it almost sounds backwards, but it's true. Scripture was written for you, but not to you. Right? So we have to understand what that means. When you read the Bible, take a book like James, for instance. James was writing to a certain audience, or even Paul. Paul in his letters, he's writing to a specific church about what that specific church is dealing with.
Yeah.
Now, we can read it and learn from it, but you got to understand, it's not like Paul was writing to New River Church, right? So what we do then is when we read whatever text we're reading, there's three things, and this is what it's called hermeneutics, understanding and applying the Bible. Look at the physical, the cultural, and the historical context of what you're reading. Then you can understand the passage more, know that it's written to them, and that wherever they are physically, wherever the location they're in. So for instance, if they're in Greece, if they're in Jerusalem, whatever, there's all different things that they specifically write for the cultural context. What is happening in that time when either someone was writing a story or writing specifically to, and then what else did I say? Oh, cultural and historical, all those things. You got to take all those things into account when you're reading a passage of the Bible. That way you can understand why it was actually written and apply it to your life.
I think that's super helpful for people. And this is also like, this is my challenge and charge to you. If you have a study Bible, which most of them have exactly that now. So it's like, if you have like a smaller Bible and it really just has the contents of the Bible, but it doesn't have the extra like maps or a history of who's writing it and who they're writing to and everything like that, it can be easy to miss those. But if you have that, don't treat it like the preface of a book that you just skipped over to get to page one. Like, actually go through and read it, because I think what you're saying, that is so helpful to understand who's writing it, who it's being written to.
Ask these questions. And I'm just looking at this website right now, but he's like, ask yourself when you're reading, who is the author and what is known about the author? Who's the audience and what circumstances did they find themselves in? What point in history were these people living in? And here's a big one. What's going on politically? Culturally, religiously. So even think about the story of Jesus on the cross. There's a reason why God waited till that specific time for him to die on a cross, because that was the way Rome tortured people. Isaiah talked about it all throughout the Old Testament. He's going to die on a cross. Well, God waited till that time because Rome is the only nation at that time crucifying people, right? So that's what I'm saying. Yes. So think about the cultural, historical, and physical problems going on there. But so my whole thing is, where do you start? Well, I think that's also different for where you are in your walk with
the
Lord.
I agree.
So for instance, you said the Gospels, which obviously you can't go wrong with the Gospels, especially if you read them in light of what we just said.
Yes.
Things might even come more real to you. But let's say, you know, you mentioned this kind of pre-podcast. I've read the gospel so much. Or I know a lot of the stories. It's like, oh, okay, I can skip over that one. Then go to a book that's a little deeper, like Hebrews, for instance, that talks about Jesus, but it also brings Old Testament truths in. You know, so there's a lot of different things.
I love that.
So, go to Hebrews. Or Start in Galatians, mm-hmm. in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read these things if you're like, I want to take a break from the Gospels. Uh-huh. I know that sounds bad, mm-hmm. but it's true. Well, there's other books that you can read. Yeah, read Romans. James that yeah. really gives you how to yeah. live life, you know? Things like that.
Oh, yeah.
James hit
James
you.
Will get
you.
Oh, yeah. No.
But remember, James is writing to Jews.
Yeah.
These are Christian Jews who are now going back to their old way of Old Testament lifestyle. Yeah. So James is like, hey, wake up. We're past that.
Yeah.
So that's the context of James. So read it in that light.
I wonder how many people are going to go dive into James now that you just said that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
No, it's good.
And also understanding that, like, this is an argument I've heard a lot for people who are like, what about, is there historical evidence outside of the Bible?
That's a good question, too.
Or you
someone
know,
asked me that literally the other day.
Yeah.
So here's what... Sorry, if you guys stop, I don't want to just take over this.
Keep flowing, bro.
Okay, so we have the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That is the God-inspired text that we were given to read to know Lord. But yeah. there is other historical books written by people along in that time
yeah.
that we can look at, not as gospel, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, not as inspired by the Holy Spirit to be a part of the
with the Bible, yeah.
canon,
yep.
the Bible,
yeah. canon, yep.
but you can still gain yeah. Historical information to now read the actual Bible.
Yeah.
And so the book yep. of Enoch is one.
Yeah.
Right? So people, this is the question. Someone said, is it wrong to read the book of Enoch? And I'll say, first off.
That's a touchy subject, right?
It is, yeah. it is. So, and I want to be careful with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So this is just my opinion, right? Don't take this as gospel either. My opinion is if that book is not part of the Bible, so it's mm-hmm. not Holy Spirit inspired, mm-hmm. right? However, it is written by someone who I believe had a revelation, a true revelation.
Well, read Genesis and find out what the Lord did with Enoch.
Oh, okay. But it's still, you can read it to understand more of the Holy Spirit inspired.
That's what
Bible.
I'm saying. Yes, yes, yes.
That, no, that's my point with that.
No, I love Enoch. It's just, there's a lot of wild stuff in that book.
It's crazy. And that's why it's they use that specifically because that book is just.
No, I mean, there's things that will question everything you ever thought.
So don't read it. Don't let that book
mm-hmm.
Tell you something different than what the Holy Spirit, yep. the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
use it to back it up.
You can even go as far as, you know, if people are familiar with the Catholic Bible, mm-hmm. you know, there's a few more books mm-hmm. added on to the Catholic Bible. The Maccabees, and so on and so forth. I think, who told me this? That this has never been found, but supposedly there was a 3rd and 4th Corinthians. Did you ever hear about this?
Mm-mm.
It's something I learned at the Institute, and the question had always been, but so what if we end up finding, you know, 3rd and 4th Corinthians, mm-hmm. would we add it? But the thing is, it's like, no, like the Bible's canonized. We believe this is mm-hmm. what the Lord wanted for the 66 books that are mm-hmm. in here.
Exactly.
You know, yes. And I would even go as far as saying, I believe that many books are Holy Spirit inspired. It's just not within the canon of the Bible.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah. Well, so, that's not true.
That, yeah.
With honestly, I mean, I know we're talking about books of that time too, but literally anything outside of the Bible, you take it with the same grain of salt, I would say, right? Like,
what do you mean?
Even if you were reading a spiritual help book right now, like, that's
yes.
based, you know, you're taking it, you're testing it with the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but what the Bible that we have now, that is the bread. Like,
yes.
that is what we trust in.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, and let me clarify something too, because mm-hmm. you hit on something, and I don't want it to seem like we keep using Enoch, but
yeah,
that it wasn't
confusing.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, so even on any pastor that is doing the right thing is Holy Spirit inspired with the words that he writes,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit also put those specific books together that we call the Bible.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, I think that's what you're saying too.
Yeah, and that's where I was getting at with the whole mm-hmm. thing is that understanding that even outside of historic, like that's what the Bible is though. These
yeah.
are, this is a compilation of historical
yeah.
texts and letters and things like that
yeah.
that spanned over 1500 years
yeah.
that are put together mm-hmm. in one. So when people are looking for sources outside of the Bible to support yeah. it, these were the outside sources that were put together.
The qualifications of these 66 book, they had to carry a theme and a mm-hmm. ongoing line,
yeah.
you know, of
yeah.
God's sovereignty, of who he is, of
the
Jesus,
prophecies,
the
yeah.
prophecies. And so a lot of the books that quote unquote perhaps didn't make it in, if mm-hmm. you can say that, they just some of them just kind of gave questions or kind of confusions. Yeah. And it didn't
yeah.
carry that ongoing
yeah.
theme that they felt from the Holy Spirit, because we have to trust the Lord that the humans that put together these 66 mm-hmm. books, because again, 1500 years,
yeah.
nobody lived that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the Lord he specifically put people.
It's a council.
Oh yeah.
That weighed out everything he said. And I actually have this. It was put together formally in about 300 AD.
Yeah.
So that's kind of when. Now this is information, right? Mm-hmm. Again, we looked this up, so yeah. I'm not like know this, but like you're saying. So what they look at, they looked at, was the person writing mm-hmm. a prophet of God, a disciple of God? They looked at confirmation of the writers. Was the writer confirmed by acts of God or someone that was an eyewitness to Jesus himself? Mm-hmm. So it's not like you could write something and they're mm-hmm. like, ooh, put this in there. No, it had to go through a lot of different things to make sure that what we're having as the Bible, all through the Holy Spirit, was put together.
Wow. You know, this is good because for a second I was like, are we off the rails? But I don't think that we are, because I think that a huge obstacle mm-hmm. that we didn't even mention for somebody being in the Word is their wondering of, is it trustworthy?
Well, who put this together? Yeah.
And so to understand, maybe that's where you start with the Word. It's understanding how did it come to be in your hands in 2023?
Well, here's the other thing. Like, the question is it trustworthy? And if you come from a different religion mm-hmm. or another like pretty knowledgeable background, or you're a very intellectual person and you just have these pretty good questions, mm-hmm. you know? What I have found with very, very smart biblical people is there really is answers to everything when it comes to, well, how do you understand this? Or how can he call himself the Messiah or da 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 da? And it's like, man, the Bible is full of answers. We're just not looking.
Yeah.
We're not looking deep enough or we haven't really grasped the revelation of the full context.
I would agree.
You know?
So that's where we start. And that's why 100%. I think what you said at the very beginning is a pause to ask the Holy Spirit for help.
Yeah.
And understanding and believing that it's trustworthy, you know, increasing our faith in and the Word that we have, you know? Those were just a few places to start. So I think what you said is great. Just depending on where you are in your walk with Jesus and your relationship, you know, trying to figure out, do I start with the Gospels? Do I start with epistles? Like all these different things.
Wow.
I think those are the perfect place to start. I think sometimes I would get derailed if I tried, this is just a personal opinion. If you haven't grasped those things yet, if you haven't grasped, you know, this deep knowledge or understanding of Jesus and who he is and what it really meant for him to do what he did, if you haven't grasped that yet, definitely start in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I think so many times I would try these like Bible in a year. Mm-hmm. And I would get so overwhelmed, first of all, by the schedule of it. It's like what we talked about at the beginning. And then if you miss a day, then you're like, okay, now instead of reading three chapters, now I have to read six. Yep, it's been the weekend, so now I have to read 15 chapters in one day. That can be so mm-hmm. much pressure. And I just want to take that pressure off of you. If you started your plan 18 days ago and you fell off at day seven, you're fine. It's okay.
Just be in it.
There's a time and place to read the entire Bible.
There is.
You know?
And I think you'll know that. So, mm-hmm. you know, and to take it slowly. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be this high pressure situation where you are now heaping shame and guilt on yourself that God is not, he does not have for you, you know? So that's just, hopefully that frees somebody up.
Hey, I'll say last thing for me on this. If you're like, okay, that was cool, but where? Mm-hmm. My favorite book I won't say favorite. A good book, Colossians.
Yeah.
Start with Colossians.
Colossians is really good.
It tells you everything you need to know about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Then helps you understand a little bit more about, mm-hmm. about you. So Colossians is a good one.
I was just reading through a few verses just like a couple months ago, and Brandon was sitting next to me and I was like, bro, Colossians. And he was like, I know. So it is a good place to start. So I want to give just a few more practical tips before we hop off of here to just, I don't know, help like mm-hmm. fan the flame. If you were at the beginning of this year and you were like, I do want to read my Bible more in 2023. Here are a few things. I have like a list and it's kind of titled how not to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't like that it's such a negative thing, but it is what it is. So one of the things that it says is don't overextend. And I think that's kind of what we're talking mm-hmm. about. Don't just try to cram in as much as you can just because maybe you're trying to do that Bible plan in a year. Like, give yourself some room to breathe, to meditate mm-hmm. on it, to chew on it, to wrestle with it. There will mm-hmm. be things that you will read in Scripture, especially if you are doing a Bible in a year, or if you're like starting from the very beginning, if you're starting in Genesis, there's a lot to mm-hmm. be like, why did this have to happen this way? You need to be able to have space to think and wrestle with those questions instead of just breezing over them.
I like how it says absorb it.
Yeah.
Like, and man, just take time with it. Meditation is not spiritualized daydreaming. It's That's reflection so good. Yes. on revelation.
Yes.
Absorb what you're reading.
That's so good. The second thing is not to do it alone. And so now, first of all, if you have, if you are in a rhythm, like some, like that is okay. So it's not telling you that you have to do this with someone else, but if you are finding it difficult to find a rhythm, it could be good. First of all, just to get a friend and be like, hey, let's read through this together. Let's talk about it. Another thing is we have class, like Vernon hit on this so hard on Sunday and I was so glad he did, but like literally discipleship classes are not just here so that we can say that we do them. Like they are here to help you. So get into a class or a group that is studying something together so that you can actually be talking through these topics with someone. Maybe make it a thing with your spouse. I heard like the sweetest thing. Just a couple months ago, we were with Steve Hoppe. And he was talking about what him and his wife were reading through in the mornings. And I'm just like, oh, that's beautiful. So like maybe it's your spouse. You're like, hey, let's try this, you know?
I was going to say on that one, this is not a, please don't feel shame. I would say to find some sort of rhythm where like there's a healthiness of like you on your own with the Bible. But the here the health plug is find somebody, an individual where y'all can literally one-on-one like share what what you and that person's like what the Holy Spirit's doing with you within yourself through the word. You know, because I have two people in my life that like that I do that with, and the blessings that have poured out of those moments, you know, where we can be in totally different parts of the Bible. But yeah, when we come together and we say, man, the Lord's been showing me this. And then that person's like, man, the Lord's been showing me this. It's like, to me, that is very encouraging. And like, so
for sure,
when it says don't do it alone, I would say yes, in the context of like a group for sure. Yes, in the context of, you know, X, Y, Z. But man, like just ask the Holy Spirit, like, hey, Lord, like, is there an individual, a friend that, man, I can... And please don't program it. Like, this is the thing where like it could get kind of weird. I'm not asking for a weekly rhythm. I'm just asking. I'm just saying like, hey, when you can with that friend that loves the word just as much as you do or more, so, you know, and like, that's the thing with these two guys. We don't program like, hey, let's read the word together. No. But when we do talk to each other every so often and we do start talking about the word, my goodness. You know? Literally.
I love that.
Literally.
One of the things that this has in it, and I'm not, again, these are things we don't want to make legalistic for anyone. We don't want to make the law for you or anything like that. But it is just to inspire you to be asking God, what can I take of this? Like, what can I glean from this? I like that this article, it said, don't just do it whenever. I like that because sometimes we also do have to break through the tension of like, I gotta just do it. Like there is that tension. You will feel the pull to stay in your bed 30 minutes longer. You will feel the pull to go to bed 30 minutes earlier, or to just sit and think that your brain just needs to do nothing for 30 minutes on your lunch break. Like whatever your timing could look like, there does have to come a point where we say, I am going to prioritize the word. And I want to go back to Vernon's words on that, that there's nothing legalistic about making room in your schedule for Jesus. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And so if you're like, oh, I've tried in the morning, I've tried in the evening, blah, 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 nothing just works. Listen, we can plan everything else. Everything else that we love finds its way into our schedule somehow.
Very easily too.
Very easily. We can do this. And so it's almost just like buckling down. I'm just going to make a time for
this. Did you read the second to last statement? If you don't control your schedule will control you.
And how true is that? We literally are a victim of our schedule all the time. And so I do think that, and listen, here's the last sentence. It's happened to me more times than I care to admit. Literally my life. But to create a rhythm, it is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. And it's a way of you saying, Jesus, I really do prioritize you in my life. I do put you above everything else. And what he can do with that much of a pure and willing heart is we can't even estimate what he will do, you know?
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So that's another little tidbit. I don't know who that's for, but like buckle down and do it. Okay, we can do this. This was one of my favorite points of this. It says, don't live as if Paul lied. And I'm just going to read this for you. Did you know that Leviticus and Chronicles and Obadiah were written to encourage you? That's what Paul believed anyway. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So what that don't live as if Paul lied really means like, don't neglect the Old Testament because you think that it's just an outdated book of things of the old God. And mm-hmm. then the like quote unquote new God came wow. with Jesus and who was like kind of what we talked about at the beginning of this yes. episode.
Yeah.
No, the Old Testament was for our encouragement.
Yes. Yep. Not to you, but for you.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm not going to do this last little one because I just don't want to overcomplicate anything.
Yeah, I like it.
The word, it is a gift to us. The fact that we have it, the fact that it was put together and that we can read it and we can know and understand the things of God is such a gift. And so maybe for somebody, it is a mentality shift mm-hmm. that it's not just a duty to be done.
Wow.
I love the fire sentence though. What?
Your father's love for you doesn't rise and fall on your quiet times.
Ugh, beautiful. Yeah. Mm. And Shelley always says that like what starts with duty will eventually become delight, something like that. She does say duty.
Starts with discipline, ends in delight.
What starts with discipline ends in delight. And wow. I think that's true. We touched on this the last episode. I think it's worth mentioning again that the way that God created our bodies. So, you know, once you start to do something more and more, you begin to crave it. Wow. And I think that it's the truth for his word. It may start out as I'm just setting my timer or I'm setting my alarm. I'm going to get up at this time and I'm going to do this, but I am going to invite the Holy Spirit in. And then over time it does become this thing that you can't really go without.
Yeah.
And so
the Holy Spirit, you better wake me up.
Yeah, seriously. And he will. Which is a funny thing. I want to hear stories from people that actually happens to.
Yes.
That happens to me. I wouldn't set my alarm at night. But it's like, you're getting up, girl. So I hope this brings freedom that you maybe feel like you have a place to start. And as with most things, I think maybe people who started listening to this and were like, give me the practical on where to start, that it actually is so much more about the spiritual. Trusting that, you know, you can believe in this word, asking the Holy Spirit for help as you read it, for understanding and for wisdom. So there's so much more spiritual than just tell me what book to start in, you know?
Yeah.
And so hopefully people get their wheels turning and maybe just go ahead and buckle down and do the thing. And also, let me say this, it's not like a diet. Like you don't have to wait until Monday. Like you're hearing this on a Thursday.
I feel like that was very pointed at me.
I just happened to be looking at you, but it wasn't. But
I always say that.
Truly, like you don't, well, me too. You don't have to start on a Monday. If you're hearing this on a Thursday, maybe on a Friday, you're like, God, I'm going to prioritize your word tomorrow in my life. Or maybe you're hearing this in the morning and you're going to go home tonight and spend some time with them. So, guys, thank you so much. I hope this conversation encourages people. It's encouraged me a lot.
Yeah, hey, we're in this together. Awesome.
Yep,
it's a struggle for a lot of people. Yeah. Let's do it together.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, you're the best. Okay, we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
On the Overflow.
Bye. Okay,
bye. Thanks for listening to the Overflow podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.